Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
Islamati, Allah my Lord,
His word Quran,
Muhammad Prophet,
praise be upon,
I am Muslim for all of time.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You're listening to Youth Station broadcasting from IRIB English Radio Station. With you today is Brother Habib at your service and Sayyid
Ja'far. Assalamu alaikum, how are you?
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for coming, brother. So of course, Sayyid, if you could please introduce yourself, where you're from.
Okay, I am originally Pakistani, but I was brought up in the US, in Houston.
So you're from Texas?
Yes.
Oh, from the southern part of the United States of America. No, we're from the sunny part of California. Anyway, so Sayyid Ja'far, we're going to be talking about your intentions in life. Not my intentions in life.
My intentions.
Your intentions in life.
Okay.
All right. So I need a background.
Okay.
You give it to me, like, slowly how you came to Qom to study in Hausa.
Okay. So how did I come to Qom? It's a good story, honestly, I guess, in my opinion. Again, it's my story. But so I was...
It's about you.
Exactly.
We have to give you an award. Self-pride.
So I was brought up in a Pakistani household, but my parents are from Karachi, so the south of Pakistan.
Oh. Most near Shia's
the,
over there, yeah.
Yeah, so near the ocean, right?
Yeah.
At the edge of Pakistan.
Beach boy, yeah.
Ironically, before I was born, my parents moved to America. And where did they pick? They picked a city that had the same weather as Karachi. It had the same, to an extent, the same location as Karachi. And it had a lot of people who, I guess, they were accustomed to that culture. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of Pakistanis move there.
So the community was a Pakistani community.
It was. It was a Pakistani community. And ironically, Houston is in the south of America. It's near the coastline. Its weather is pretty much close to Karachi, where it's hot and humid. And it's not fairly that cold over there. Again, if it goes anywhere near 32 degrees Fahrenheit, or for my Celsius listeners here, 0 degrees Celsius, you would consider it really cold over there. We're not accustomed to the cold. But I was brought up there. I was born there. I was brought up there. Again, my parents had put me into an Islamic school at the beginning. Now, again, the basis of that was to at least keep my base of Islam intact, right?
Good parents.
Not to get shattered by the Western thoughts, culture.
Lifestyle.
Food. All of it, right? So it doesn't shatter that image of Islam that's
just between your words.
Obviously, their goal in the beginning was to safeguard that base, right? Make it strong enough where you can actually go out and the culture won't affect you as much as someone who doesn't have a base, right? But after a while, that school was only for elementary years. So I was only there to sixth grade. But then after that,
In high school, you were in public school, right?
Exactly. After that, so seventh and onwards, I was in public school, right? That's where I really saw what the quote unquote American culture and lifestyle was.
America, yeah.
Right? So from that standpoint, obviously it was a shock for me because I was accustomed to a certain way of, say, not even just living, but even studying, getting to know people, interacting with people, right? From an Islamic background, immediately into a Western background. But because of that base, right, I didn't falter as much as someone who went straight into that American culture, right? Regarding the aspect of me coming to Qom and why I went to come to Qom, honestly, over there was a gap between the speakers, the scholars that used to come from Qom, and the youth over there. You had scholars who had studied for 30, 40 years, but they kept no connection with the West. So they had less connection with the youth compared to someone who was there in America growing up with them or understanding the issues that they were facing. And honestly, like I saw most of the, again, I was part of the youth. So I saw that most of our issues weren't being tackled. So I had made the decision to come and study myself and also, in a sense, keep a contact over there to understand what was going on and tailor those things that I was learning and seeing how I could help the youth that were there at that time and the youth that are going to come in the future. And help them tackle those needs, those basic needs that they have in the West.
So that's your intention in life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have to take a short break. We will be back to continue this discussion. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome back to IRB English Radio Station. You guys are listening to Youth Station. We are talking, me and Sayyid Jaafar, we're talking about the concept of your intentions in life. How did you gain that love, that passion? So it was like, I know it has the parental background. They might have planted the seed that has grown into you, mashallah. But at the end of the day, still, there has to be a personal drive for your intention.
I feel like my personal drive was also just to honestly gain knowledge on my own here, to understand, like, really get the knowledge at its roots, right? Not to just hear it from someone else. Because at least back in the day in the US, the main issue was you went to one mosque and they were saying something. You went to another mosque and they were saying something completely different, right? Just even if you don't fall into the whole Western culture trap, you're going to get lost between the different ideologies within the mosques.
Very nice.
Right? There's a lot of back and forth between the mosques themselves. I guess, in a sense, yeah, they are diverse. But if someone wasn't in line with the practices at one mosque, they would go and make their own mosque. They would run with their own practices. Now, a youth growing up in the West,
of course, for all the Christians out there, you guys do the same thing with your community churches.
So a youth growing up in that environment, seeing all the differences here, not seeing a connection, at least the way it should be.
So you're intrigued. You're curious about knowledge.
Exactly. I was curious to see,
what's right? The reality? What's the truth?
Why is everyone, you know, just splitting apart and doing their own thing? Why aren't we all coming together and doing something?
Of course, brother was saying that he wanted to know the reality, wanted to know the fact. And I see that a lot in houses. But most of the students, especially those who come from the West, usually the reason that they have come to study, they have left their families, they have left their hometowns, they are homesick. Of course, they're not homesick with Sayyidah Masuma alayhi salam. Yeah, with the shrine of Lady Masuma alayhi salam, there's no such thing as homesick. But what I mean is that they left their homes, they have come to live in a different country, a new culture, and to study, to just go 4 hours of classes and go back to their homes and study more. The main reason why is that, why they do that is to know reality. They want to know what is the truth so they can follow the truth. And I really ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you and to aid you more on your path. And now, of course, every human being in their intentions in life, your intention is to go back, what I understand, is to go back and to, you know, try to fill up that gap.
Yes.
How are you doing with your plan right now? Because, you know, we all have plans. I have a plan to be king of the world, but it's not going very good. Anyway.
Obviously, I can't say that, you know, everything has gone through the way that I had thought it out when I first got here. But again, keeping that goal in mind is really what's pushing me through all the hurdles that are coming up over here, right? Be it the sanctions, be it the school system here to an extent. What I mean is, obviously, the way they teach you in the West and the way the teachings are done in the East are different.
The methodology of teaching.
Yeah, the methods are different. Obviously, understanding and growing up with a Western method, it's harder to grasp the Eastern method of teaching.
The teachers on the board giving you prizes and, you know, showing you stuff and images and stuff like that. Here you come down, you open the book, you look at the teacher while he's talking, you have to understand every single word that comes out of his mind. And that really makes smart people. It really does. Even though it might be a hard way, but if you put your time on it, it makes you a smarter person.
It does. The struggle that you go through here, at the end of the day, it does yield a stronger...
When do you plan on going back and continue? Because, you know, I believe that every human being should, you know, make their goal into parts, right? Step by step. There's the big step that you have to take that you say that I have completed this stage, right? I have to go on to another stage. When is that stage that you want to go back into, you know, the U.S. and continue your missionary goals?
In a sense, I had originally come with the idea of, you know, at least studying, say, 10 to 15 years. Right? Mashallah. Really have a sound base.
You want to be soaked in the knowledge.
Exactly. Where, in a sense, where any question, any concern that comes my way, like, I have an answer for it, right? I don't want to leave them, you know, empty-handed. But then now also seeing how rapidly things are changing in the West and how it's becoming even more difficult for Muslims over there, I might have to cut back on that. I might, instead of doing 10 years, it might be 6 or 7 years.
Just to add on to something, 6 and 7 years is not enough.
That's true.
The goal that you put 10 to 15 years, I was going to say, is acceptable. I wanted to say that at least, like, you have to study more. And there's no such thing as stopping from studying. There's
no, that's true.
Always seeking knowledge throughout your entire life. But I think that in Hausa, in your level, in my level, I think the main base for us is to understand the mythology of, for example, they ask me a question. I'm not Google, for God's sakes. I'm Habib. I forget. I eat cheese. I forget. So when you ask me a question, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you I don't know. But give me for like a couple of seconds, I'll go back. There's this nice story that I want to share with you, brother. It's a nice story for you. It's a nice story for the listeners out there who, you know, how to deal with missionaries. We're not infallibles. We do mistakes. We forget sometimes. There's this great Ayatollah, Sayyid Hussein al-Shahroudi. He gives out Kharij, Dars-e Kharij, which is pretty much the top level of studies here. Right? It's like a professor in your language. Anyway, he was asked a question, a simple question. A fiqh question that maybe me and you, if, like even 6 years back, if I was asked the question, I would be able to answer it. He told him that, what's the difference between me and you? You told me you don't know the answer, that you have to go back home and check the book or check the issue. He told him that the difference between me and you is that when I go home, when I go to my 1,000 books that I have at my house, it is true because I also have 1,000 books at my house. He has more. I'm pretty sure he has more. It's much bigger than mine because I have a lot of encyclopedias. Anyway, when I go back home, I know where to go to the book. I know what page it is available in, and I remember it. As for you, when you go to that same library, you stand over there at the library, you don't know what book to open.
Well, at first, you're just intimidated by looking at the library.
Then you want to open it. Okay, you opened it. Where do you find it? Okay, let's say you found it. Can you understand it or not?
That's true.
So there's also a similar story. The structure of knowledge, knowing the structure of knowledge, knowing where this issue is available at, knowing the books where this issue was stated or mentioned really helps us out. Another story that's similar, Sayyid Sa'id al-Hakim, the Marja, the great Ayatollah that passed away recently in Najaf. When people would come and visit him, they would ask him a question. He told them, give me Minhaj al-Salihin, the book where he has the issue, the fiqh issue, the verdict. He told him, give me. It's his book. He read it with his own hands. He forgot it. It's not a problem. We're not infallible, you know? So I think that the main thing is not to be able to answer right away. It's to deal with the community in a proper way and to know the knowledge structures. For example, they ask me a question about aqa'id. Where do I go? Theology, ideology, creeds, beliefs.
Right. Okay, so my point of saying that, look, of me having the answer right then, and it wasn't just right then and there, but being able to have access to that answer, right? Because most scholars who haven't read as much, who haven't studied as deeply as they should have,
they don't know the structure.
And they come back, they're lost.
Yeah, exactly.
It goes back to that same story that you said. They know what it might be. They can beat around the bush all they want. But the core answer, they don't know where to look. Exactly. They don't know where to cite it.
Very nice.
Right? At the end of the day, I'm saying to just all those students as well, whatever field you're learning, right? In a sense, start teaching the basic concepts as well to further understand that through teaching, you really understand how much you don't know.
Exactly.
Right?
Nice.
You don't just read a book and be like, oh, look, I understood it. When you explain that book to someone else, that's where you really find out how much you don't know.
Now, I want to ask you a question. You know, alhamdulillah, you have an intention in life. I have an intention I'm not going to tell you on the radio. You want to know the intention? Invite me to your place. We'll have dinner. I'll tell you my intention if you're intrigued. Anyway, say it. Now, some people think that there is no necessity to have an intention in life. You don't have to have a goal in life, you know? It's enough that you're alive. Let's be alive. Let's taste. Let's test. Let's experience. Let's just be happy. Do you think that's proper? That's rational? Because I personally believe that that's not rational at all. Because when you say that I want to be happy, that's your intention in life. That makes it a goal. It's impossible to not have an intention. Anyway, what's your view on it?
Honestly, I agree with you in that aspect. If you don't have an end goal, whether it doesn't have to be a grand goal, it just has to be a goal personalized towards you, right? You're going to be stagnant in your life. You're not going to be moving forward, right? At the end of the day, life is there for you to move forward and understand more things. Right? Meet more people. indulge in other cultures and other societies, right? It isn't just, look, I'm just going to do my thing. You know, what's your goal? I don't have a goal. You know, I'm just, you know,
wanna be
just
okay.
Testing the waters out, right? How long are you going to test them out for? You're going to lose that, the aspect of living, right? You're going to, in a way, you're going to be killing yourself without being dead.
Thank you very much, Sayyid, for your beautiful words and your story. And thank you guys for joining us. Until another Youth Station, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.